This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Let's get you ready for the NFL weekend the best way we know how, with a little help from Joe Wiz. You can hear him on the Fine Line, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can also check out his work at joewizsports.com. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at joewizsports. Joe, last Saturday we had you on. I believe you called the Bills a live dog. They turned out to be an extremely live dog, and the Chiefs were not so fortunate.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on. And, of course, Mother Nature almost ruined the game for me. I was telling Blake I was worried that the game was going to be canceled at halftime. I took the three and the money line, and we went to the bank. And, KC just continues to fail against the spread. They're now 3-13 against the spread going back to last year.
That's unbelievable. I mean, how rare is that? Like, how often do you see that big of a discrepancy? Because, obviously, the whole point of the spread is you try to get close to 500 if you're setting the lines.
It's very rare when you have a good team like KC. KC's a very good team. I don't care what their record is, but it's just hard to believe. Like, even last year when they were driving towards the Super Bowl, I mean, they were just going, they just weren't covering the spreads, and people just continued to play them because they always say, oh, they're going to win. Sometimes they don't win, and it's very rare.
We ended up having a few of those conversations last year about them not, like, blowing out bad teams or whatever, so I hadn't really given much thought to how that was affecting the lines, but it's super interesting, again, just, like, from your perspective, knowing the way that those lines get set and everything. Does at any point, do the bookmakers adjust their approach or to try to get some money back around, or because the Chiefs are good enough and popular enough, they're just always getting enough money on the Chiefs and the market's never going to correct itself? Which way does that go?
No, the bookmakers know that everyone's going to bet KC, so
right.
they just keep leaving the line high. Like, for instance, the game against the Washington football team, line 7 in this game at 54. Everyone and their grandmother's going to bet Kansas City in this game. Oh, KC's 2-3. They need to win. They need to keep up with the Chargers. The Washington football team stinks, and that's what the public thinks, and sometimes that doesn't prevail. So the bookmakers know that everyone's going to bet KC, so they still give you an inflated number.
What do you like with the number sitting there at a full touchdown and the extra point?
Well, when you look at it here, KC's 3-13 against the spread. Washington has a terrible defense.
Mm.
The total of this game is at 54. Last time KC came to the East Coast, they played the Philadelphia Eagles. They took care of business. I'm not eager to lay the points on the road, but I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think that Mahomes is going to start finally taking it seriously, and Andy Reid's coming back to the East Coast, not too far from his home, where he played, and where Philadelphia was only, it's only an hour or two ride down south of Washington. The total of this game is at 54, and I expect the Chiefs to put up 35, maybe more than that in this game. And if Washington can score 14 to 17 points, the value on this play is to play the over 54. Mm. You just can't lay points with a team that's 3-13 against the spread, no matter how desperate they are.
Yeah, it's interesting. And also, I mean, I don't know how deep into all these tendencies you end up getting because, again, it varies so much from team to team. But the Chiefs even have what's been a little bit of a history of kind of taking their foot off the gas even whenever they are in control of a game against a not-so-great team. Even against the Eagles, which was not a game of total control because the defense was not very good there. You got that garbage time score at the end for Philly. And I think the Chiefs still probably did cover that one, or at least got pretty close to that being one of the rare victories there. But do you consider stuff like what teams often do at the end of the game when they have a lead, or how often you do see those dogs being able to get a backdoor touchdown to bring it together?
Well, ever since they put the two-point conversion rule in several years ago, that always comes into play.
Hmm.
I mean, look at what happened on Thursday night with the Philadelphia Eagles playing Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the dog in that game. I think I was the only one of the few people that had the courage to take the Eagles against Brady. But I told people, Brady is not a good player. Not good on the road. I mean, he struggled against when he went up to New England. They should have lost that game.
Mm.
And then, of course, against the Rams, they did lose. And we took the cover with the Eagles. So, yeah, when this two-point conversions come into play, I was a little bit of a controversial call the way the Eagles went for that two-point conversion when they were down 8. But it is what it is, and we got the money there. So Kansas City right now is in a desperate situation. I mean, they can't – They have to, Andy Reid really is going to have his team really focused here. And you got to remember, the last time they came to the East Coast, we talked about Philly. They took care of Philly. And let's face it, KC had Baltimore beaten, okay? It was a rare fumble where they were lining up to just get in position to kick a field goal. So all things considered, they should have beaten the Ravens as well in that game. They didn't, and that's just the way the ball bounces. So, yeah, you got to take a look at it here. But KC, pedal to the metal. I mean, they're not going to take anything for granted anymore. They have no room for error. So I'm playing the over in that game, over 54, and hopefully Mahomes and company shows up and gets the ball rolling here. We got the KC. There's a sense of urgency here. It's only October 15th, but there's no room for error.
Yeah, I agree 100%. We're talking to Joe Wiz. You can hear him on the Fine Line tomorrow morning at 7. Get his work at Joe Wiz Sports on socials at joewizsports.com. There are quite a few road relatively heavy favorites that I'm seeing. Packers -6, the Chiefs -7, a couple other ones. The Rams -8 against the Giants. And there was one more that really caught my eye. Oh, Buffalo -5.5 at the Titans. The Titans are getting a little healthier, but that one's still kind of jumping out to me. What do you make of those? Again, I know every time we talk, you try to remind me that, hey, these underdogs have a lot of value, especially a home underdog, I would think, would have some value. But what do you see in those games? Because it seems pretty clear that the road team is the better team. That doesn't always mean that they're going to cover.
Yeah, on the Monday night game with Buffalo and Tennessee, you have the line at 6 of 54. The Titans have been underachievers so far this season. I mean, for them, head coach Vrabel is going to have to come up with a game plan to figure out a way of stopping Buffalo. Nobody's been able to stop Buffalo, other than their opening day loss against Pittsburgh, which I guess they were just reading the newspapers and thinking how good they were, and they said figured they didn't have to show up. But if Buffalo played Pittsburgh again, there would be a lopsided scoring affair. But here, the Titans are going to have to establish a ground game here, and it's going to be very tough. But ironically, as much as the Titans have a good rushing attack with Henry, they also have Tannehill at quarterback, okay? And Titans have gone over 16 of the last 22 meetings, and the Buffalo Bills go over in almost every game this year. The total in this game is at 53.5. I like the over in this game. Again, another high-scoring affair. So sometimes when I am a little bit leery about taking a dog, I'm not interested in laying double, not even a touchdown with Buffalo. I'd rather take a look at the total. And, the total's at 53, and the Titans, like I said, have gone over 16 of 22, and the Bills have gone over in almost every game here, and we know that they can score all the time. The only thing you have to worry about the Bills is that they're in for a letdown. They were pumped up. We talked about it with you, me, and Blake on the air about, how pumped up the Buffalo Bills were to come in and get revenge against Arrowhead, and they did. But now they're going to come and play in to the Titans. And Titans are a good team, but I think that's going to be a high-scoring affair. As far as some of the other favorites here, Green Bay has dominated Chicago Bears. It's hard to make a case for the Chicago Bears only because of their rookie quarterback in that scenario. But there are some other dogs there that I think that you have some value with. I mentioned the Washington football team. I'm not interested in doing that. The Giants are all banged up. You got to stay away from a team like the Giants or Rams. Giants last week got decimated with injuries, and even though Daniel Jones is expected to be back in the lineup for the Giants, MetLife Stadium is just about, literally 7 miles from my office here in Hoboken. And I just don't trust the Giants. The Giants are a terrible spread team at MetLife Stadium. So if I don't like the dog, Josh, I usually pass or play the total. And, the good thing is you don't have to play every game. One interesting play, is New England. Everyone's like, why is Dallas only a 3.5-point favorite? Yeah. Dallas has been lights out, 5-0 against the spread, scoring 34 points per game, averaging last 3 games, 40 points per game. Belichick is going to come up with a game plan, and don't be surprised if that game's decided by a field goal. So you're live home dog with Belichick, the best coach in NFL. Sorry, Andy Reid. Belichick's still my favorite.
I was going to ask you about that game, too, because that one does jump out to me. But I think that you're right. I think that you can just sort of bet on Belichick there and see if he can slow down that offense a little bit. Field goal late. Field goal's not enough. You need the hook there as well. Anything else right now that jumps out to you in terms of any of the other games? How much do you get into any of the props? Like, I'll tell you that every week I am interested in the Patrick Mahomes rushing over. It seems like he hits it just about all the time. Now there's no Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Last week he scrambled. He was the leading rusher on this team. Do you play around with the individual props very much, or do you like to focus on the lines and the over-unders?
To be honest with you, I'm old school. I've been doing this for over 25 years, Josh, and I just, you know, when I got trained in this business, being in the bookmaking business, it was pretty much just win or lose, and now everybody's making the prop bets, and that's a full-time job in itself, and some people got to be careful with doing live bets, and people ask me about live bets. I said, unless you're watching the game, you can't make a live bet because you have to know what's going on, and that's why I always stress to people about discipline and money management and also making a lot of prop bets, because the more bets you make, the more exposure you have out there to have an opportunity to lose, okay? So you have to be very careful. But, you know, there's two college football games. One game starts here at 2:30 your time. I'm going to give you a live dog that's going to win outright right now. Wyoming, they're playing Fresno State. The Cowboys are getting three. I'm taking Wyoming plus the three. Nobody knows about the Wyoming Cowboys other than they're located in Laramie, Wyoming, but nobody knows about them. These are obscure games that I look for. And right in your own hometown, don't be surprised if Kansas gets the cover against Texas Tech. Too many points. Tech should not be laying 18 points. So I give you two live dogs. One's going to be an upset with Wyoming, going to win the game outright on the money line. I know Blake's running to the bank right now to get some extra money on that game. And don't be surprised if Kansas covers against Texas Tech, but I do like Wyoming as a very strong play for me. It's one of my top picks today in college football.
I love the Wyoming call, and also that that KU game. Not only can people keep an eye on it, you can keep an ear to it, because that's what's going to knock us off the air here in about 15 minutes. Pre-game coverage for KU versus Texas Tech is up next right here on Sports Radio 810. All right, Joe, last time through here. The Fine Line, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning right here on Sports Radio 810. JoeWizSports.com, at JoeWizSports on Twitter and Instagram. Tell everybody about the Fine Line, about what they're going to get if they tune in tomorrow morning ahead of the NFL action.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to talk about every single NFL game on the board. We're going to give you a few surprises. I'm promoting a big three-team parlay on the air. And, of course, everyone that listens has an opportunity to get some free picks. You can just follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Joe with Sports is the best way, Josh. And I'm great with having this lead into Kansas. I'm really excited now because I'm rooting for the Jayhawks plus the 18.5. So we already have an 18-point lead before the game starts. That's great.
I got to tell you, no one can ever say you're anything other than brave. Because putting a shiny nickel on KU football is a heck of a way to live your life. But they don't have to win this game, and they're not gonna. They just have to cover 18.5. And I like that call a lot. I'll be keeping an eye and an ear on this game with that in mind. Thank you, Joe. Look forward to the show tomorrow morning.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
That's Joe Wiz. Again, the Fine Line, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning right here on Sports Radio 810. JoeWizSports.com, at JoeWizSports on Twitter and Instagram to get everything from Joe. I love talking to him, man. He mentioned there that his background is as a bookmaker. And so it's a different perspective than most of the sharps that you'll hear, most of the people that you hear on the radio. Not that anything is better or worse, whatever. I just like different perspectives. And coming in with the perspective of, I have made these lines, I have set these lines, I know what they're looking for here, I think it's super interesting, especially whenever you look at something like the Chiefs against the spread in their last 16 games being 3-13. It's crazy. But again, it makes sense. Like I mentioned to Joe, you get all of these times where, you know, how many times did we hear about how the Chiefs don't blow bad teams out? How many times did we hear about how the Chiefs let their foot off the gas late in the game? Which, by the way, are both true things. And if you know that, then maybe, you know, if you're going to go one way or another on this game, maybe you say, you know what? Even if the Chiefs are up 14 in the third quarter, Washington probably gets back and maybe they're able to cover. Maybe they get it down to get to exactly 7, and then you're kind of there on a coin flip. So, super interesting. Again, I just like talking to Joe. To switch gears back really quick, I told you last hour I wanted to grab at least a clip from Dave Merritt in his press conference that I thought was just fantastic on Thursday. It should be open right there on the computer, Blake. It's like 50 seconds long or something. I cracked it open before the segment. You know, good, excellent. This, for me, is what I want you to take into the game tomorrow as something to watch on the defensive side of the ball. And this isn't always easy to see on the broadcast view because occasionally it'll be cropped in where you can't see the corners for very long at all. And then you certainly can't see their eyes. But if you see corners out of position, try to keep an eye out for why they end up being out of position, if they are. Or if they're not, keep in mind why they might be. I want to see if these guys are appearing to keep their eyes on their target, on their man, and if that changes things. Listen to Dave Merritt talk a little bit here about eye discipline, what the Chiefs need to do differently, and also why it's something that can be turned around.
There's a lot of guys that's playing with, you know, poor eye leverage and just reading your keys. And One of the things that I talk about all the time is alignment, technique, keys, and assignment. And so when you go into these games and you have a particular alignment that you should be following, you have to make sure you do that. And when it comes to your keys, you know, that's the eye discipline. And so that's really the issues that has been going on is just some of the eye discipline.
Can you explain on what you mean by eye level?
If I'm looking at you and I'm supposed to be watching you, I got to watch you. I can't all of a sudden go watch someone else. So whether you're coaching Pop Warner, Little League, your kids in basketball, if that's your man, you teach your kids to cover that guy. You don't turn around and just start looking somewhere else. Oh, there's a bird. Oh, there's a butterfly. No, you cover your guy. That's what I mean.
I don't want to take that and immediately just take everything that Dave Merritt said there, put it on a sticker, and slap it on the back of anybody. But again, I mentioned this earlier. How would you describe the Dan Sorensen-Dawson Knox touchdown? Better than that. He took his eyes off his target, started looking around, and then all of a sudden, that's a bird or a butterfly. Oh, it's the football flying over my head to Dawson Knox. He just let him get behind him. And again, like that's we're honing in on one bad play. If Juan Thornhill made that exact play this week, none of us would talk about it nearly as much. But for Sorensen, it's the... Yeah, straw, camel, etc. It's the tipping point, maybe, or it's the thing that stands out in our minds. Again, not even that it's always that's the best way of doing this, but it's true. It's what we've seen, and it's incredibly frustrating, obviously. A step beyond that, though, I think that applies to the corners, the safeties, to anyone who ends up in coverage. Frankly, I mean, again, you find these times where the linebackers are all of a sudden completely out of position. Keeping an eye out for that. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but the Chiefs are missing Charvarius Ward, Blake Bell, and Chris Jones for this game. They are all ruled out already. We will find out at about, 10:30 tomorrow, the status of Tyreek Hill, Anthony Hitchens, and Joe Tooney. But also, this is not a totally lopsided thing right now for these two teams, because Washington wide receiver Terry McLaurin, their best offensive player, Gibson, the running back, is very talented, but also is not. Terry McLaurin is a needle mover. He did not practice on Friday with a hamstring, so he is questionable against the Chiefs. I could see him being like a legit game time decision, because it seemed like it popped up late in the week, and so you might see him come around on Sunday and he feels fine and holding him out Friday was a precaution. You might see him show up on Sunday and he's a wreck, you know, or that injury was more significant than people have reported to this point. But that would certainly be a big advantage for the Chiefs secondary. Also, already they're missing wide receiver Curtis Samuel, who has a groin injury, Brandon Sharif, who has a knee, and Samuel Cosmi, who we all learned a lot about in that pre-draft process. He's got an ankle injury. He's out right now as well. So they're missing two offensive line starters and at least one of their top receivers, maybe their top two receivers. And Logan Thomas is out too. So that's actually, you know what that opens the door for, though?
No.
It's a revenge game.
No.
Ricky Seals-Jones revenge
game. Oh, that was my next guess after no.
Ricky Seals-Jones revenge game. If you have not been paying close attention to the Washington football team, or perhaps you've not been super involved in fantasy football, whatever. Logan Thomas is a very good tight end.
He was on my team.
You could pick up Ricky Seals-Jones and try to take advantage of some of these tight end versus linebacker matchups.
Weirdly enough, you know who I picked up, and it worked out beautifully for me.
Dawson Knox.
Yes.
I did the same thing.
Yep.
Battle League where I lost Logan Thomas, and I picked up Dawson Knox,
the
and
week,
it worked out for
well,
me.
Well, the week before I picked him up, he went for 20. The week he played the Chiefs, I should have played, because I have Kelsey as well, so mm-hmm. I should have played both of them. He could be a premiering and emerging young tight end.
Especially if they play the Chiefs every week.
Yeah.
That would probably do.
Do we want
that noise? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I smacked the keyboard.
What was your question?
I was going to say, you know, we had an interesting call to during the, the break.
Yeah, why don't you? I think we're going to run out of. I'm afraid
we are
going to
run
out of runway.
We are out of time.
Please,
she
do.
Has not called back in.
Okay.
And I messed up. I told her to call the wrong time. Yeah, but we were earlier in the show. We were talking about Mr. Stinky Feet himself.
Right, I had not heard of this man's great work.
His extensive discography.
That's right.
He, Mrs. Stinky Feet actually apparently heard that we were talking about
him.
She
cannot like being called that, right?
She called herself that.
All right. You know what? Bleep me, I guess. I'm wrong. Sorry, Mrs. Stinky Feet.
And she called into the show. So, Mrs. Stinky Feet, I just want to say, one, we appreciate that you even listened to this show because we are two knuckleheads who just, you know, they gave us a mic and then they didn't give us rules. But we probably won't be able to have you on the show, but it was really funny that you called in to talk about it.
I don't know if or when we'll have a show next weekend, but if we are out here doing this wonderful shtick again next weekend, I'd be more than happy.
Feel free to give us a call.
But even if it doesn't work out, that's fine. It brings me great joy that she called again, was listening, called in after hearing our brief conversation, as I learned about the lore, really, of Mr. Stinky Feet.
The legend
of Mr. Stinky Feet, who apparently you did know. Again, I just was just learning of him today, and my day is better for it. Just makes me really happy that you got to have that conversation.
Yeah, it was great.
I think that this is probably not what happened, but it would also be almost even funnier if it was someone who was like, hey, I'm going to call in and just tell them that I'm Mrs. Stinky Feet.
Yeah, well,
they knew you'd believe it.
She also used the last name.
Did she have proof? You know,
I didn't get proof. This could have been a crank call. It was Marco, actually.
it was Marco
calling into the show.
Did it sound like Marco doing a woman's voice?
You know,
it just sound like Marco.
It was actually, he's just like, I'm Mrs. Stinky.
Hello.
Although Marco doesn't sound like that either, so.
He just needed to do a different voice. The phone is ringing and we're out of show.
Oh my gosh.
This is heartbreaking.
Stinky Feet, I'm so sorry.
Here's the issue, because we got to go right this second, because on the other side of this break, pregame of KU versus Texas Tech will begin. Kickoff is at 3. Joe Wiz likes KU to cover the 18.5, by the way. Enjoy the KU game. We'll talk to you again. I'll be back for post-game of Chiefs versus Washington. I'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon. Until then, bye, Mom.